welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a beautiful sunshine day down here in Central Florida, so it's been nice to be blessed with this nice weather today. Very few chemtrails. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I just want the next 24 hours to be done with. I mean, I have just about had enough of this unbelievably negative stuff coming out of CNN. Now they're basically, CNN has now aired another report saying that if the president was shot during the inauguration, that Obama would appoint a new president if Trump was killed.
I saw that.
How much more bitterness and anger and resentment? I mean, if a Republican person said this with Obama's second term, that if Obama is murdered or killed, people would be arresting him. They would be in jail. They'd be charged for whatever. I mean, for threatening the president. But CNN can come out and say something like this and say, oh, by the way, just in case somebody decides to kill Donald Trump, Obama will appoint a new president. I mean, this is just absolutely just tabloid journalism at its worst. I mean, I don't even know what to say that these guys hate us so much. Now, guys, I got to stop here for just a second, unless I digress. Let me just kind of cover this for a second. We've got to think about this. The bitter, the anger, the resentment, the rage, I mean, all of this. And remember, these guys, the vast majority of these folks that are Democrats, and I'm just going to say this straight up, are not true born-again believers and followers of Jesus Christ. They're not. They're pro-abortion, pro-death, supposedly Christians, some of them, which I can't understand that for the life of me, how they could possibly claim to be a Christian and follow Yeshua and turn around and just promote all of this agenda from the Democratic Party. They're filled with bitterness and rage and hatred, and Lucifer is what they are. And the sad part about it, this is the party of gays and drunks and alcoholics and drug addicts and high school dropouts, welfare recipients, homosexuals, witches, warlocks, demons, Luciferians. This is the party. Now, remember, I'm not a big fan of a lot of the people in the GOP either. You got Lindsey Graham, who acts like he's three-quarters gay. Whether he is or not, I don't know. But you got all these other Republican presidents other than Donald Trump pretty much have gone to Bohemian Grove to watch them sacrifice the Moloch. I mean, are you kidding me? This entire swamp, as it's now being referred to, is a disaster in the United States, and it needs to be drained and cleaned out. Now Trump just released his latest tweet and said that he's going to require mandatory drug tests for all people receiving federal aid, and without the drug test, they will no longer receive federal help. Now, I don't know how to say anything but amen to that. I've been saying that for years, Austin, down here in Florida, with all of the welfare and all the welfare recipients. If they're not willing to get drug tested and they're using their welfare money they're getting from tax dollars on drugs or on alcohol, I think they need to be blood tested for alcohol too. If they want to run around and get drunk all the time and use their money for being drunken instead of, using it for food to feed the families, we need to reconsider giving them that money also, or make sure that alcohol can never be used on anything that they're receiving. But of course, they just defer the money and just do it some way different if the state has a law against that. And they just say, well, I'll spend my food stamps on this and the little bit of money I have, I'll spend the rest on staying drunk all the time. But guys, this entire party is the party of weirdos. I just told Sharon, we used to try to go on a cruise, once a year or so, and we'd take the family because it was a pretty good way when the kids were younger. It was a nice way because, we have them in the room with us. We could control what they were doing all the time. We could control them on the ship. We could go to different ports of call, especially down in the Caribbean. It was only a few-hour drive for us to get to the ship, and then you're gone for a week, and you get the flight. Sometimes you get the rooms down there for $299 a week per person. So it's a very inexpensive vacation for a week. But every time I went on these ships, I started noticing there were a lot of people that were extreme liberals on these boats. And I got to the point where after about 2 or 3 days of having them just say really negative, nasty stuff to me, I just started getting back in their face and saying, look, what's wrong with you? Why are you such a weirdo? Why do you say stuff like that? Why can't you use decent language? Why are you such a foul mouth? I mean, Austin, you remember some of the times I would do that. And the thing about it is that I look back on all of that now and I think to myself, why do these people think by tearing everything else down, they're going to make their lives any better? I mean, if you took 100% of all of the people's money that are making money in the United States, all the business owners, took all of it, 100%, taxed them 100%. When Reagan came in office, it was a 90% tax rate on the top income producers. Taxed them at 100%, you still couldn't balance the budget. That's what people don't get. You still can't balance this budget because this budget is out of control. It is completely and totally out of control. So the nuttiest part about this is, if you take all the business owners and you tax them into oblivion and they have to shut their businesses down, who's supposed to pay for all the welfare checks and all the free stuff and all the drugs and all the alcohol and all the things these guys want to take and all the little witchcraft ceremonies they want to do? Once you take Christians, Protestant Christian work ethic out of the country, you take that out and you start going to socialism, it doesn't take but a few generations for the entire concept to completely collapse from its own overhead and weight. I just went to a local university in Lakeland, and I was just there a few minutes ago, and I have some friends who work there, and they asked me to stop by. And I remember about 10 years ago, we had a really good friend of mine who was the president of that place, and the place was just pristine. Everything was updated. Everything was perfect. The paint was perfect. I just drove by there a few minutes ago, got out of the car, looked around. Everything is run down. Everything is tore up. Nothing looks right. It looks all dilapidated. These are some new buildings and new facilities. And they don't even have a painter on staff. They don't have a painter on staff. Now, understand what I just said. Paint is cheap. A good painter is $15 to $20 an hour. You can put them on salary, give them health insurance. They'll work for you 40 hours a week, get two or three of them as big as this campus is, and have them just start at one corner of the property and paint it. And by the time they get to the other part of the property, start over again and paint it again. Because it's going to take them years to paint this thing. So just paint alone is cheap. It doesn't cost that much. You can get good paint for $18-$20 a gallon. And the sad part about it is, Austin, you see the place, and it has what's called deferred maintenance. And what happens is, in any organization, this happens. When you have the people that come in and build the organization and build the groups of people that are going to be there, they're visionaries. And they try to keep all the overhead down, the budgets down, the salaries down, et cetera. Then you bring in a second group of people who don't care that much about that because they're riding on the coattails of the person who built it. Then what they do is they don't think about infrastructure maintenance. I remember Kenneth Copeland said something one time, a long, long time ago, and I know he's very controversial. A lot of you guys like him, a lot of you don't, so we're not going to quote Copeland, but I'm going to quote him with this one time. He said this. It's funny, also, I just said I'm not going to quote him, and now I'm quoting him. He says, here's what he said. He was so right. He goes, people don't realize when they believe God for stuff like a big house or, you know, whatever, a farm, whatever, they don't get it, that the initial cost of purchase becomes small in comparison in most cases to the maintenance associated with that property over a period of 20 or 30 years. If you want to maintain something, it costs money to maintain it. Otherwise, it looks run down. It starts looking ghetto. Look at the Section 8 housing and how terrible that looks. Well, this university now has got all these problems with infrastructure and deferred maintenance, and they have this huge facility that has to be painted on an ongoing basis, and they don't even have painters on staff. Now, this doesn't make any sense to me because none of this stuff makes any sense because, guys, listen to me for a second. This is that democratic socialist mindset. Just put it off, put it off. It'll work out down the road. It doesn't work out down the road. You've got to have somebody who's got some fiscal responsibility to take care of it. And there's another big church in Lakeland, a huge church, huge facility. They're basically bankrupt. They're going broke because they can't pay for the maintenance on their facilities because they've got like three campuses, and now everything needs to be redone, and they don't have the money to go out and replace and repair the infrastructure. I know my dear friend Mark Rutland, when he went out to ORU, he told me that when he first got there, I believe he said it was either $60 or $80 million in deferred maintenance on infrastructure, which means that there was about it was going to take $60 to $80 million to bring the place back up to specs. Because, again, Oral Roberts had it. It was pristine. His son took it over, didn't maintain the pristineness of it all, started losing more and more people. Finally, it wasn't paying the overhead. And so that's what we have to understand something. These Democrats, Austin, they get involved with stuff, and they think that they could just get free handouts for everybody, and everybody's going to have money coming from nowhere, from somewhere, from someplace, and all they are doing it is taxing us with a gun to our head, saying, give us money, and we're going to do whatever we want to do with it, and no matter what you say, it doesn't matter to us because we're going to do whatever we want to do. So finally, Trump says, hey, we just make really bad deals. We got to stop this mess, and we got to start doing good deals again and get the United States great again and get it back on course. And we saw this with NAFTA. We saw all of this stuff. You get these Republicans that are compromised because of their whores and because of their drugs and because of their pedophilia. Same goes for the Democrats. And they get this socialist mindset in there, their Cloward and Piven strategy, which were the professors from Berkeley University back in the 60s that promoted that we could destroy the Republic by causing massive overhead and causing it to collapse from within. Now, here's the thing again that's so stupid. We've got professors at a major university telling the students how to destroy the United States, not thinking for the fact that if they destroy the United States, their university is going to go under, and they're not going to have a job. And it's so ridiculous to me, Austin, that CNN puts out propaganda. Oh, if Trump gets assassinated, oh, by the way, Obama will appoint a new president. Now, we finally have one last chance to prevent him from becoming president of the United States. So this is it. Now, are you kidding me? This is their headlines. So it's complete and total nonsense. And the sad part about it is, Austin, these Sabbateans who run the money supply and run Hollywood are doing the bulk of this with their counterparts, the corrupt people at the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, and their money laundering that they've been doing for decades of time, and also the CIA and the Mafia. That's the group of people that are involved in all of this. You've got the rotten bankers, the rotten Vatican, the rotten CIA, and the rotten bankers all getting together here and trying to destroy the country so they can bring in their socialist one-world utopia under Lucifer. That's the goal of all of these guys who are at the top. And the sad part about it is, what kind of horrible, dysfunctional, utopian state will it be when nobody can do anything besides live in a 20-by-20-foot cubicle with six kids, or by then you can't have six kids anymore, you have two kids, then all the kids have autism, and you're kind of wondering, what the heck have I got in my life going on? This is what happened. This is why in China, when Apple Computers, Austin, had to install the suicide nets outside of the buildings, they had to put suicide nets in because they were working these people 18 hours a day, 16 hours a day, to the bone, fingers bleeding, and their lives were so horrible, and they saw nothing in their future that could remove this horrible life they were in. The movie they had was basically a slasher movie that never ended. That's how they looked at it. And they started diving out of the doggone windows and killing themselves just to stop it. Just to stop it. When you don't have Christianity and Yeshua in the center, and Yahweh in the center of your life, you have no moral compass and you have no moral accountability. It's basically take all you can get, then sit on the can, screw everybody you can screw, and not do what's right in God's eyes. And that's the mindset of this liberal group of people and a bunch of GOP people in Washington that have gotten themselves sold over into this Sabbatean mindset. And guys, that's not what we're called to be. You know, the Christians, the Protestants built this country. The white Protestants built this country coming out of Europe. One of the largest ethnic groups, we talked about this the other day, was the German ethnic group coming in after the Civil War because so many of the population had been killed. Because there weren't that many people in the Civil War. I think the country population was probably less than 20 million at the beginning of the war. In fact, I know it was. And so we had millions and millions come in more because we lost millions during the war. And what ended up happening is we rebuilt the entire infrastructure in the country with the Protestant work ethic. Now, the Muslims, they don't have a Protestant work ethic. I mean, the only people in these Muslim countries that get things happening and moving are the Christians that are there, and they're driving all of them out. And see, you say, well, it sounds like you're biased towards Christians. Well, yeah, I am biased towards Christians. I happen to be one. And yes, I'm proud of being a Christian. Is that something wrong I can't say now? Are we that politically screwed up that we can't say I'm proud of being a Christian and I'm proud of my faith in Yeshua? They want us to have the Luciferian mindset, just like they do, where they can live in their palaces and have the fanciest cars and the fanciest planes and the fanciest jets, and put all of the rest of the peasants back into this feudal system in which we're living in these little tenement apartments and working as slave labor like they have with the Apple computer. Russia tried to do this when Stalin and Lenin and all those nutbags and Trotsky and all those weirdos and Luciferians that were there, and as they were Sabbateans, they tried to do this, and they found that it completely and totally collapsed from within, because once you take away free economic incentive from the people of a country, they start to sit around and do nothing. This is what Lyndon Johnson did with the black population of the United States with his Great Society program back in the 60s. And yes, I remember when this happened because I was born in the 50s. And he started giving away huge amounts of welfare to the inner cities and to the black kids. And now we've got generational welfare recipients, Austin, have been on and off of welfare since the 60s, generational, all the way through. And because they've taken away the incentive for these people to work, because they were able to sit around, do absolutely nothing their entire life, and sling dope. That's the problem with this whole situation, that these guys are such idiots, they think that they're going to continue to do this with the United States, and the United States is going to miraculously come out of this mess that we're in. We're not going to come out of the mess. We've got 95 million people unemployed in the United States, and they would have bring in another 20 or 30 million Hispanics and South Americans and Central Americans and Africans into the country for population ethnicity differentiation. And the problem is they don't have any skill sets. They can't even use a stinking toilet. They don't know how to cook or build or do anything. They have to, they're squatting out in the field somewhere, some of these countries they come from, and they want to bring them in our country, which again caused a complete disruption of our infrastructure, just like Kyle Howard and Piven taught. So guys, stay with me on this. We've got to keep praying that Donald Trump gets in. I personally think he needs to be put in at 12:01 a.m. tonight and get in and just make it a show and just run out there real quick and run back in, not let some sniper get a beat on him. Guys, the 50 caliber BMG rifles are good. If you get a guy who's got the windage right and everything else, those guns are good for a mile and a half. A mile and a half. Not to mention explosive ordnance that could be detonated. I mean, this is a really, really dangerous time with people like CBN now, CNN, calling on if someone kills the president, Obama will make the new president happen. I mean, are you joking me? No. Read the newspapers of what's going on right now. It's almost awesome to a point of being so ludicrous, it's hard to express how I feel because I can't think this way. What do you think?
I felt the same way, Bud, when I saw that article. I almost thought it was a spoof at first when I saw it. I thought somebody had made, you know, kind of a joke, and then I read it on another site, and I read the comments, and people were irate about it. Even people that weren't even Trump supporters were making comments like, when's the last time in history you saw a major news like CNN or anybody start saying, what would happen if the current president-elect got assassinated today? Well, this is what would happen. Nobody writes stuff like that. That stuff is already in the books. The entire government knows what happens if that comes about. Why are you going to sit there and broadcast it on national news conferences like that and say, well, this is what would happen if he gets killed. Obama would do this. No, man, it's completely and totally out of line. In my opinion, the first thing I would do if I was Trump, granted they'll call him a tyrant, which they already do, I would muzzle CNN and I would revoke their press license. I would not allow them to report the news for another 30 days. If this is the type of the just lunacy they want to engage in and this is the piece that they want to put out, I mean, not only is it just absolutely disrespectful, it's very, very dangerous to be leaking information like that on full news media just for the fact that, A, you're giving ideas to people that are already nutbags, that already hate Trump because they're complete and total blithering idiots. So you're giving them the idea, one last final chance, hey, just saying, if you happen to do this, this will get him out of office. Pretty bizarre, man. But going back to what you were saying with Southeastern and deferred maintenance, it's sad to hear that because I haven't been to that school in a while. Most of the listeners know I graduated from that school twice, my bachelor's and my master's degree. I really like that school. It's a very good school. It's small enough to where you can really get to know a lot of people there, but yet it's still big enough that there's, you know, a good diverse amount of people that you can really hang out with. But as Dad said, the issue that I've seen with that school is they're constantly building more infrastructure, more parking lots, more dorms, more buildings, and everything was financed. The dorms were actually supposed to be self-liquidating after 10 years, if I'm not mistaken. They would continue to pay for themselves if they kept them full. Now, I don't know if they remortgaged them or took the equity out of them. I don't know. They may have already done that. But the issue is when you start building infrastructure and you're financing it and you're financing it and financing it, you're basing all of that infrastructure on current future projections on more kids coming into school. So then the next year you go, well, we could spend this amount of money if we get another 2,000 students enrolled this year. We could get this amount of money approved if we have another 500. Well, guys, the problem is when you start basing your projections like that on massive buildings that you're financing, it becomes very difficult to stay solvent over an extended period of time if you have any type of drop in attendance. It just makes it very difficult. So, I mean, it is what it is, but it's just, I mean, hopefully they'll get it back together over there. But a lot of people are doing this. A lot of companies have done this. A lot of churches have done this. And as we see, the United States is doing this. This is just another article that came in today. Barack Obama has heeded the calls to help secure the future of the historic Paris Agreement. You guys remember this was signed in 2015, basically extracting billions of dollars from nations to help combat global warming and other guys to take more money from us. Well, King Obama decided to transfer another second $500 million installment to the Green Climate Fund just 3 days before leaving his office. It was established in 2010 and signed in 2015. It's financed by wealthy countries used to assist developing countries with adaption. Okay? The U.S. committed to transferring $3 billion to this fund. The new installment leaves $2 billion left, with the incoming President Donald Trump expected to cease any further payments. Yeah, darn right he's not going to give them anything. The money's being drawn. This is even the best part about it. We don't even get a say in the $3 billion. The money's being drawn from the State Department directly, the same way that the first transfer was, allowing it to be done using executive powers without any congressional support or approval. This is the kind of stuff that we bring up all the time on this show that people have to start looking at and realizing that we cannot continue as a country, as a business, anyway, any type of company cannot continue like this and keep urinating money away, giving billions of dollars away to climate. First off, I want to know what they're spending the billions of dollars on before we're saddled with the bill that we have to borrow money from the Federal Reserve that we're paying interest on, that our kids and grandkids are going to have to repay if this thing keeps going the way it is. So it's really, I don't know, Dad, it's crazy to see what's going on. The same thing you said, if Trump gets in office, I've talked about this numerous times for years now, that welfare recipients should have to pass at least basic drug tests to get approved. I don't know if it's financially feasible to do it on a monthly basis or a six-month basis or whatnot, but absolutely, I told you guys that story months ago, and I got multiple people that gave me positive comments on it. I had one person that gave me a negative comment about the lady that I was behind who bought lots of food on sale on her EBT, and I was kind of like, okay, I mean, it wasn't high-quality food, but it was to feed whoever she was trying to feed, so I couldn't knock her for that. But then she racks up this bill, pays it on her EBT card, and then buys like two packs of cigarettes in cash. Well, my whole thing is, why am I financing your food if you have enough cash to feed your nicotine habit? It doesn't have to be nicotine. It can be alcohol. It can be dope. It can be anything. But if you're sitting there saying, I'm so insolvent, I can't pay my bills, I'm not bringing in enough cash to feed my children, I'm okay with helping you. I'm okay with the government helping you. That's what we pay taxes for, and that's what we can help support other people that are in need. But don't tell me you're going to force me to give you money while you go and engage in illicit behavior or use stimulants like nicotine or alcohol, like central nervous system depressants or drugs or anything else that do not benefit you in any way, shape, or form and actually put more of a strain on the healthcare system. I'm not going to fund that. I shouldn't be asked to fund that. So I absolutely hope that Donald Trump gets that in there. And the reason why all the liberals hate this, the reason why all these people on the welfare hate this, is because they don't want to see their gravy train leave. I mean, we have almost 50 million people in the United States. I talked about it the other day, almost a sixth of the population, Dad, on some type of welfare now. That's something we have to start looking at and thinking, okay, are all these people completely legitimately needing to be on full welfare, full disability, all these different things that we're paying them, in some cases thousands of dollars a month to be on? I don't think so.
Well, I'll take it another step further than that. Right now, Germany is trying to pass a law to allow people to receive welfare payments to go to prostitutes.
What?
Why? Because they're saying that these Muslims need money to pay for the whores. Because remember, prostitution is legal in Germany, and so they need money to go to whores because they are so, you know, they're so tied up with sexual, you know, whatever energy that they have to be relieved somehow, and so they want to give them money. Now, the Netherlands, you know, up there in Denmark and all the other crazy places in Amsterdam, they already allow you to take visiting whores off as a tax deduction as part of a medical expense. Now, you guys think I'm making this up? I'm not. That's how screwed up Europe is, okay? I remember years ago, I'm just going to tell you a story. You don't tell stories. I just want to tell you a story. I'm at a hotel in Germany, and it was in Austria. And I'm walking around the hotel, and it's a nice hotel. You know, we had really saved up for the trip, and we were over there, and we had done some business stuff, and somebody gave us this room for free kind of stuff, one of those deals. And what ended up happening, so I'm sitting in this hotel, and they tell me they got a really big spa in the bottom of the hotel. I'm like, okay, all right. And it's a co-ed spa. But, you know, I said, okay, well, I'm going to go down there and work out. So I go out, and there's a steam room in this there. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, whatever. I go into the steam room. Everybody's naked. Men and women are naked. It's a co-ed steam room. Everybody's naked. Everybody's naked. I got a robe on because I'm thinking I got to walk in there and make sure who in the world's in there before I start walking in there. And I walk into the robe. They all start yelling at me in German, telling me I can't come in there with clothes and I got to be naked. And I thought to myself, this is really, really a subverted, messed up situation here where all of this is okay. They don't have the same values that we do because Germany and France, all of these countries, have been secularized to a point where all of that type of deviant behavior, including prostitution, is legal. So they don't want you running around, I guess, in clothes at a co-ed spa. I guess that's just not cool. It's kind of like going to a nude beach and wearing clothes. They don't want you doing that, I guess. So, I mean, no, that's just, you know, just, well, that's true. I mean, let me tell you another story. This is crazy. This is crazy. I can't tell you that story. There's no way I can't tell you that story. That story gets really weird. But that happened in Copenhagen with me and Sharon. We went over there many, many years ago back in the 80s. And, I'll tell you the story. I'm just going to tell you the story. You guys want to hear it now? I've already set you up for it. We want to go horseback riding, and we were in Copenhagen, Denmark, and we had a place. We took a train out to a riding stable outside of the country, outside of the capital, about a 20, 30-minute train ride. And we get out there, and we're on this beach, and we got there like at 8:30 because of how the train ran. The stables didn't open up until 9. And so we're out there sitting on the beach, and this lady comes walking up, and she was very heavy. She's probably 300, 400 pounds. And she was walking up, and your mom and I were sitting there on the beach just enjoying the sun and the breeze. And she walks up right in front of us, in front of our view, looking at the ocean, right in front of us, puts her chair down like 7-8 feet away from us. Now, remember this beach is miles empty. There's nobody, me. It's me and Sharon on the whole beach. And she strips naked right in front of us, Austin, right on the beach, right in front of us. And I looked at Sharon, and I said, wow, never see that where we're from. And I said, let's just go ahead and wait over at the stables in case more people start showing up that want to just strip naked 5 feet from us where we're sitting. I mean, she could have gone anywhere on the beach. Didn't make a difference to her. She strips naked right there. And this was 30 years ago. Now, guys, you think about this for a second. How in the world can a culture that's that pervasive with just open sexuality in Europe, all these different countries over there, come back from this decadent decline they've been in for literally 40, 50, 100 years? I mean, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. That's one of the big things that was going on in Germany back in the 20s with Berlin and Cabaret. And if you watch that movie with Liza Minnelli, which I don't suggest that you watch because it's a pretty sick movie, the Cabaret back from the 70s, they were actually doing that in a bar, in a pub in the 30s and in the 20s where all the stuff started in Germany. And that movie would have been done in the 30s, but it was basically a remake of the 30s. And the craziest thing about it is, Berlin was one of the most decadent places in the world. One of the most decadent places in the world. And it was a huge party town. See, this is the thing. That culture has come in now and has been pervasive and has permeated all of Germany, all of the western part of Europe. And Putin's now telling everybody to go back and become Christians, go to church, have families, won't spray chemtrails supposedly over there, doesn't want to eat GMO foods and wants them to eat organic. I mean, how in the world did we flip-flop with the Russians? That's what I want to know. How did we flip-flop with the Russians? How could we have been the country that basically saved the world from tyranny back in the 40s and then turned right back around, and now we're the country that has become the tyrants, doing all this crazy stuff, threatening our presidents before they're inaugurated? If a Republican person had said something like this, Austin, they would have been immediately jailed. And then on top of that, last night, in front of Mike Pence's home in D.C., they had a big queer dance party just because they know he is a conservative Christian, that he's spoken out against homosexuality. So they have a big queer dance party that erupts outside of Mike's home in D.C. last night. They were dancing on cars, doing who knows what over there. I mean, unbelievable. Of course, Mike Pence wasn't there, and I'm sure that the security was around the house. But, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that the leftists do because, remember, they're not saved. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't have the presence of Yeshua in them. They only have Lucifer, who rules this world, his frequency and his presence in them. They're secularized. They're reprobate. They don't think the way we think. That's why it's so difficult for Christians not to be taken advantage of when they run into these guys in a business setting, because we believe when they tell us something, they're telling us the truth. We don't believe there are people out there. All they do is lie. They're con guys. They're grifters like the Clintons. That's why the Clintons were able to do what they did to the people in Arkansas. Oh, we're Christians. Oh, yeah, they're Christians, all right. Right between their seances and their voodoo matches and her speaking to the dead Eleanor Roosevelt or flying out west for doggone for her wicked witchcraft parties. Are you kidding me? I mean, they're just nuts. Those people are so evil that we had to do everything we had to do this time. And that's why we prayed so much on this show not to allow Hillary Clinton to take office. They're that bad. That's why I very rarely even talk about her anymore, because quite frankly, every time her name comes up, it nauseates me to such a point that I don't want to think about it. So I tell you what, guys, it's going to be an interesting year, and I really hope that Trump gets through this tomorrow and that we can actually start making America great again, to use his campaign slogan, and just make this thing a better place to live, and start causing these welfare recipients to actually get drug tested before they can start getting any more money from the government. All right, what's the next story, Oz?
Well, a couple of health articles today. This is another one, and I sound, when I bring up vaccines, a lot of people probably think I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm going to continue beating that dead horse until somebody recognizes what the dead horse is. And this is something everybody has to realize, is we have to wake up about vaccines. There's another article out of the UK now. The MMR vaccine has now been directly blamed for the death of a five-year-old boy in the UK. Doctors have confirmed after the autopsy that the boy died directly from the mumps virus in his brain, which came from the live vaccine. The boy, who was not named as far as in this article, was given the vaccine when he was 18 months old and was immediately diagnosed with severe combined immunodeficiency disease 4 months later. Over the following months, he was treated with drugs to treat symptoms of fever, rash, diarrhea, lethargy, seizures, MRI scans detected brain inflammation caused by the infection. The symptoms became much worse by the time he was 4. He was uncoordinated and losing his sight. Further tests discovered damage to the central nervous system, chronic inflammation. Despite being given antibiotics, antivirals, antifungals, he died by the time he was 5. At this time, he was completely blind. Researchers at University College London found a virus strain that came directly from the MMR vaccine in the boy's brain. Lead researcher Sophia Marpufia said the boy may have had an impaired immune system before he was vaccinated, which would have made him more susceptible to a severe reaction. Now, here's the million-dollar question. Why, if they know this stuff can happen, they clearly know it can happen, why would they not at least do their due diligence and see if this kid had an impaired immune system before they shot him up with dozens of vaccines his first few years of life? Just a thought. Just a thought. Just, you know, maybe, hey, we should see if he can handle the massive onslaught of these toxic vaccines, see if he can handle a live mumps vaccine being injected into his body via hypodermic needle. See if his immune system can handle that before we do it. No, not these guys. Shoot them up. Shoot them up. Shoot them up. They're not having enough shots yet. Shoot them up more. This is what these guys do. It's nauseating to me, Dad. But this is why I bring this article up, because I want you guys to realize there are other options out there. You don't have to be forced into vaccinating your children, well, unless you live out in California and you're trying to get public school system with them, or if you decide not to vaccinate your children out in California and the state deems you to not be in the best interest of the child, then they can take the child away from you and vaccinate them before they give it back to you. So, yeah, California kind of is a separate little country when I refer to vaccine rights, but yeah, this is what's going on, and this is why I'm so adamant, guys, about making sure you research this stuff before you shoot up your kids. If you decide to do it, it's your choice. If you decide to do it, I'm not going to say anything else to you about it. But just understand, you have a choice. Please do the research and see the side effects that are occurring. There are thousands and thousands of kids every single month in this country and throughout the world, and know what can happen when you start injecting with this stuff, Dad.
The amount of kids that get vaccines is ridiculous. How many kids have these adverse reactions?
Yeah.
And you say they should have checked the kid to see if he had an impaired immune system. Well, the vaccines cause the impaired immune system. They cause what's called a cytokine storm. Look it up on Wikipedia. It talks about the macrophages and all the other stuff. Look up cytokine storm on Wikipedia. It's the thing that killed almost like 50 million people or so died back in the teens years, I think in 1917, 18, and 19 from the Spanish flu. Like 50 million died globally. In fact, more people died from that than I think died in World War I. And what was crazy about it was ripping through our GIs in Europe and in the United States. In fact, my dad, I have a younger brother who actually died because of that. Because remember, my dad was born in 1901. He got married, was 18, 19 years old. He had a baby, and the baby got the flu and died from it. And so, you know, that would have been an old brother if I'd have had him. Lord, that would have been, well, that Becky would have been old. Almost 100 by now. Because I've got a bunch of siblings that are spread out in age. Some of them are in their 80s now. So what's crazy about all of this stuff is this, guys, is that we don't realize that when we get involved with these medical industrial complex physicians, that they're being paid through vacations, through continuing education hours, through free meals or whatever, to push and promote the agenda. I just had a cardiologist. He's a good friend of mine. He's a pilot that I know. He's also a cardiologist. He texted me this morning. He said, well, Ted, you may be surprised by this, but I had absolutely no vaccine training in medical school. None. Zero. He said zero. None. Now, so what they do, they get the training from the drug companies that are promoting and pushing these drugs on these children and on these doctors, telling them that they're safe. Well, it doesn't take, if you got enough sense to rub two nickels together, I mean, and realize that's a dime, right? You got to understand something. Certain types of compounds and chemicals called cytokine storms, which is a massive inflammation of the immune system, massive amount of mucus and drainage, and that's what killed most of the people who died in the Spanish flu, was from the cytokine storms. In fact, if you read in Wikipedia, it tells you that. And that's probably what killed this little boy, was the cytokine storm. And this is what happens when you disable a macrophage with NAGLase. And that macrophage, NAGLase is the compound they're finding in cancer patients, diabetic patients, heart disease patients, and in children who've been diagnosed with autism. The NAGLase strips the sugar molecules and the attachment for the vitamin D off the bottom of a macrophage as part of the white blood cell system. And when that happens, the white blood cell can't go in and eat the bad stuff. It can't go in and absorb it. So what it does, it starts releasing what are called cytokines, which are chemical messengers to all the other macrophages. Come help, come help. I got something here. I'm broken down. I'm not working. It's like sending up a flare gun, turning on the red lights. You know, come help me. I got an accident here. We got to clean this mess up. I can't do it myself. So it sends out these messengers. Well, the next macrophage shows up, and it also has had it's also been stripped because of the NAGLase. It starts sending out cytokine messengers, and it starts screaming and yelling, help, 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 help. So you start getting massive inflammation at this site. And then pretty soon, the brain starts swelling, and the whole body becomes inflamed. And this is what happens. The immune system gets impaired like this. And this is a story that I broke on Hagmann's about a year and a half ago. Gosh, it's had millions and millions of views. And I talked about how Bradstreet and both Gonzalez, who had been working on finding out where this NAGLase was coming from, and how they were working with a molecule called the GCMAF molecule, which is an activating molecule for the macrophages, and how it helps to restore proper macrophage production of the immune system response, how they were murdered. And they said they were committed suicide, which is nonsense. They were murdered. And so the sad part about all of this stuff is, guys, you know, when you get out here and you start talking about all of this stuff and how these things work and what happens, they don't want you to know. Because remember, this group of people that have been doing this to us through Edward Bernays from the late 1800s with Sigmund Freud, who was his cousin, teaching us and programming us with this wretched stuff they'd learned from Leipzig University in Germany with this operating class of conditioning that Skinner brought over. This is what they've done with the entire systems. They don't take you into a Plato or Socrates type environment now when you're in college. You're basically trained like a lab dog that if you make the grades, you got to pass the test. You got to pass the test. You got to answer the way they tell you to answer. I remember one time I was in graduate school at Florida State, and I was in the MBA program there, and I had an interesting professor. He was microeconomics. And I remember he had asked a question on the test, and I knew what he wanted me to say. And so I answered the question exactly how he wanted to make me say it. And then I put down a parenthesis. The balance of this answer is not to be counted as part of my grade, but this is what I feel is the right answer. And I explained in detail on that exam why I felt that what he was asking was wrong. And he gave me like plus 10 points on this, like this midterm or final. Because he said, wow, that was really good, Ted. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective before. I said, well, no, the other way doesn't make any sense because there's too many other variables. And that's the thing. We've got NAFTA. We've got factories all down in South America now, Mexico, that are shipping stuff back up here. We've got a huge highway they're building all the way through Mexico into the Midwest. We know that the NAFTA highway that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to talk about that. Okay, that's going to bring, just going to basically streamline this entire bringing in this new world order. See, they want to combine the United States and Canada and South America as one great global unit, that we have free trade going across all these different borders, but they don't think about the fact that we're all different cultures, and we talked about that before on the show, and that how these cultures can't intermix like that. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. We were built by a Protestant work ethic, primarily Lutherans and Protestants coming over into the United States that was rebuilt after the Civil War. And we have to understand something. If we want to rebuild the United States again, you know, we've got to go back to that Protestant work ethic. Like, you know, Trump's a Protestant. He's a Presbyterian. And he's basically one of those people that's a really, really hard worker. I have never seen anybody do as many campaign stops, 3 and 4 a day for months on end on his private plane, to the point where he wasn't even setting up facilities. He was having people go to airports to hear him speak. I mean, crazy. Who in the world does stuff like that but a guy who's a workaholic and who wants to get the job done? Now, let me see one other thing I want to share with you. This is an article that came out, and it's from Aquila, and it's talking about smart dust. And it says, smart dust is a name given to extremely small computing particles, which are RFID chips and other very small technologies. This is one of the things that they're spraying on us in chemtrails, I believe. The earliest mentions of smart dust come from the RAND Corporation. There we go. And according to Wikipedia, the concepts for smart dust emerged from the workshop at RAND in 1992 and a series of DARPA, there we go, studies in the mid-90s due to the potential military applications of the technology. The work was strongly influenced by work at UCLA and the University of Michigan during that period. The RAND Corporation has been involved in morally reprehensible warfare, think tank activity, and strategy in particular for several decades, and they were involved in nuclear war strategy, disrespecting the lives of everyone on the planet in scenarios where nuclear bombs would be detonated to retaliate against Russia at the expense of all life on Earth. Now, what they want to do is this. It's basically what they want to do is put these semiconductors, these tiny little things the size of dust, they float in the air, you inhale them. And they're being promoted as an eventuality that smart dust will cover streets and buildings and animals and humans and get into your lungs and identify people, that people will have smart dust in their bodies and other things in mainstream television and media. They paint a utopian, blissful picture of it. However, the history of entities involved in creating smart dust show a different perspective. The same entities who created smart dust also created drones, surveillance technology, technology for warfare, are involved with this creation of military industrial complex, and it's RAND and DARPA. Guys, what they want to do is use, this is why these things are made out of barium, because the barium is brought into your lungs, it gets into your bloodstream, it gets into your central nervous system, and it gets attached to your nerves, and it sends out an electrical signal designating your frequency or your DNA pattern to a supercomputer, which is also tied together with the other smart dust particles inside of a sea of plasma, which is what the chemtrails do. They create an energetic plasma around us, which allows easy conduction of electricity and EFI signals, electromagnetic frequency signals. And so they're able to broadcast your DNA or anything to you or tell you what to do through that same plasma and force you from a nervous system standpoint to have huge amounts of rage or anger or love or peace or murder in your heart or anything they want to do to you. This is what the whole goal of this New World Order has been, through the Luciferian advanced DARPA technology that they've been deploying on us by using the chemtrails for the past 20 years. And this is tied together with Morgellons and a lot of other things. And I've done a whole bunch of shows on that with Hagman and with Hodges, and we've talked about it repeatedly on this show. And I'll be back on tomorrow night again on Friday night with another 3 hours with Doug Hagman, Lord willing, and Donald Trump gets in and everything goes smoothly. That's what I'm hoping anyhow, Austin. So I want to cover that stuff on the smartness with you guys again, because I had seen this article today and I just want to briefly say, well, I've been telling you about this for years now. People are finally starting to realize that, yes, I did do my research and I did know what was going on. Oh, by the way, now they're finding that turmeric is better than ibuprofen at inflammation, Austin. Remember when you had that pericarditis last year?
Yep.
They said that, remember, you were hammering like 20 turmeric a day because it stops that histamine response in the body and it stops the inflammation of the body. And they say that's better than ibuprofen for arthritic conditions. Now, guys, that's amazing. Now, also what you need to do is realize this. If you have rheumatoid arthritis, you need to cut out a couple things out of your diet. You need to completely eliminate nightshade vegetables. That's potatoes, eggplants, bell peppers, and tomatoes. You got to get those things out of your diet. Also bell peppers. You got to get those completely out of your diet because they actually inflame the joints of rheumatoid arthritics. And if you're having a problem with that, you got to understand it's one of those things you've got to do. Oh, I want to mention one more thing too. We've had several of you, and I don't know how to make this as clear. I don't know how to make it as clear. I'm going to make this very clear at the risk of hopefully not offending somebody. We don't do third-party consults. If somebody wants us to call one of their friends who has a cousin, who has a neighbor, who has a son, whose best friend is basically has a health problem, we don't do that. Okay, we don't call up other people. Anybody can call our office at any time, and we'll talk to them about health and nutrition and proper supplementation. We don't call out on people. Plus, the other thing is this, and I don't want to get you guys upset with me, but this is just the truth. There are a lot of really junk health products out there on the market. They simply don't work. And it's frustrating to me and to my staff when people call up and they say, well, I'm taking so-and-so's product from such-and-such, and I don't feel any difference. And you guys told me to take this B-complex, and I feel better. We didn't tell you to take that B-complex. We never told you to take that person's B complex. We formulate our own products, and they're methylated with the B complex, so you have tremendous energy from them. We don't do that. We don't tell you what to do with other people's products. Now, if you're having health problems and you're taking other people's supplements, I suggest you go to that person you bought those products from and you ask them to help you. If you're buying it from Walmart or Sam's or whatever, go to the pharmacist at the pharmacist's counter and say, look, I bought these vitamins. I've got this health problem. Can you please tell me what supplements I need to take? And I can guarantee you the answer will be a blank stare from them saying, are you nuts? They don't do anything. They're junk vitamins. Or something similar to that. They don't work because that's what they've been taught. So here's the thing, guys. Do us a favor. I'm asking this, please, please, from the bottom of my heart. Don't ask us to do third-party consults. And don't ask us to look at your supplements and to see if they're any good, or to ask us why you've tried this protocol with somebody else's supplements and they haven't worked. That's really important to me, because my staff has come to me now on several occasions just this week where we have people contacting us over and over. I mean, absolutely going berserk, yelling, screaming, hollering on their emails, you know, with all capitals, exclamation points, unbelievably angry because they heard me say on Hagmann that I don't mind helping people. That's right. I don't mind helping people, but I can't help people who don't want to be helped, who aren't even willing to call the office. I can't do that. So please don't ask me to do that. And please don't ask me or my staff to try to figure out why your vitamins aren't working. I mean, we don't do that, because that's why we have our own supplements. You got anything you want to add to that, Austin? And God forgive me, I hate to talk that much shop about it all, but I need to get that cleared up with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, just briefly, I'm glad you brought that up. And I mean, the biggest thing, guys, with third-party consults is what Dad just said. I give out the phone number every day on the show, and I mean that sincerely, as far as you can call us up anytime, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. If you have a question about a product, if you see something we carry, if you're like, hey, what are your milligrams of B12 in your B-complex? I don't have a computer, or it's not working. Call us up. I'm very open with that. 1-800-726-1834. We'll be more than happy to work with you. But please don't contact us and say, hey, I want a friend of mine to get on your products. They don't want to get on them, but they need to be on them. So I want you guys to talk to them and convince them why you need to take their products. Quite frankly, I don't have the time or energy to engage in that. And if they don't have the time or energy to just pick up the phone and call us, I'm definitely not going to go out of my way in that aspect. But also, too, in health news, I wanted to address this real quick. The first GMO apples that I brought up 2 years ago now are hitting U.S. stores next month. Hooray, hooray. More GMO food. GMO apples will be now to the list of food to avoid at the grocery store if they are not certified non-GMO. This new toxic apple has been genetically modified not to turn brown for 3 weeks once it's been sliced. The apples were genetically engineered using a gene slicing technique that reduces the amount of PPO in the apples, which is what causes the apple flesh to oxidize when exposed to air. Unfortunately, this is just the first wave of GMO apples to hit the store. Granny Smith and Fuji varieties are being approved by the USDA, and the Gala apple is set for approval in 2018. The one that's coming out next month is going to be the Arctic apple. They're produced by Okana Specialty Fruits of Summerland. So this is something everybody needs to look out for. I don't know what this stuff's going to do long term. I don't know if it's glyphosate resistant. I don't know. All I know is when you start taking genes and splicing them and doing things to fruits and vegetables and foods that had no business being done to them, if there was a specific reason that fruit needed to be like that, I have a pretty good feeling that God would have already come out and done that. And it may have been like that in the Garden of Eden. I don't know. I wasn't there. But we don't need to be genetically modifying this stuff. And what scares me the most about this is that it's never long-term tested. We see now the FDA just approved new GMO pineapple without any type of independent safety testing whatsoever. This boggles my mind, because everybody thinks, oh, the FDA's this, they help this. They don't do anything, guys. They are sold to the highest bidder. Whoever wants them to do their bidding, they throw them as much cash as they need, and it gets approved. We've seen that with aspartame, with sucralose, every single other toxic element that should never be consumed by a human being on the market. You wonder how it got there by the FDA. Just look at where the money runs. But this is crazy. The FDA now has said the Del Monte's GMO pineapple proposed creation is safe based solely on information submitted by the company itself. There is a distinct lack of information on long-term potential health, however. The new GMO pineapple has already been given a rubber stamp, and it could be headed to the stores next year. is one of the most diverse and natural paradises in the world, but now the country is expected to be the site of the latest GMO experiment, the extra-sweet pink-flesh pineapple. Del Monte's new pineapple has been genetically engineered to produce lower levels of enzymes already in conventional pineapple that convert the pink pigment lycopene to the yellow pigment beta-carotene. Lycopene is the pigment that makes tomatoes red and watermelons pink, so it is commonly and safely consumed. According to the company's information, the product is safe, but the process itself has been questioned. That's what I love, too, now. According to the NBC report, the pineapple will simply be labeled extra sweet pink flesh pineapple, and there will be no special label showing that it's genetically modified that will be required whatsoever. My question is, why in the world are we tinkering with vegetables and fruits to make them not go a different color, or the brown oxidation that naturally occurs when you cut an apple in half? Why are we going out of our way to gene splice this stuff and completely genetically modify it into a whole other fruit that's patented? The only thing I can see with Monsanto and all these companies doing this is to be able to control the food supply and also to poison the population. I don't really see any other useful purposes, Dad, do you?
No, it's going to change the epigenetics. It's what I mentioned a few weeks ago. They're basically feeding us stuff to kill us, and they're trying to see if they can change the populations genetically. And if they put enough radiation, enough poison to us, the only people that are going to survive are the ones who are tolerant to this type of stuff. Again, it goes back to the Joshua Committee back in the 50s that said they had to basically reduce the population massively, and they have not done so. So now they're basically stepping up the game and pumping us full of all of this stuff. Real quick, we're almost out of time. We have a lot of people that contact us who have problems with constipation. Now, there's some things that you can do for constipation, but the whole thing about it is you got to realize going to the bathroom once or twice a week or once a month is not normal. Okay, that's not okay. I knew a woman in Tallahassee, and she literally used the bathroom once a month whenever she, you know, started her period. And the crazy thing about this is she had all kinds of skin problems and health problems, and ended up with cancer in her 20s. And she basically was just an absolute total and complete physical wreck in her 20s from this, because she used the bathroom like once a month. And when that happens, you start getting a whole bunch of poison inside of your system that gets reabsorbed through the portal veins, and that poisons the liver. You need to be eating more oil, which helps to lubricate the digestive system. Avocados are good, sardines are good, fatty like fish are good. You need to also be taking cod liver oil on a regular basis, which is important, and you know, the olive oil is very, very good. And also remember, a lot of people who have got problems with constipation is because of a magnesium deficiency. So you can use your foot soak if you want to really absorb a lot more magnesium through your body, that's magnesium chloride, or you use our magnesium product, which will really help your bowels to stay clean. You know, we don't understand how this underrated mineral is so incredibly important. It's in over 300 biochemical reactions in the body, and it can cause chronic stress in your system if you don't have enough magnesium in your system. Plus, if you're getting too much caffeine, sugar, and toxic overload will also deplete magnesium levels. But if you eat enough magnesium foods, you really need to be getting a lot of magnesium in your diet. Vitamin C is another thing you can take. You can take 2,000 to 4,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day. In many cases, that helps to get the stools to move. Now, one of the best things you can do, and I do it on a daily basis, is I use sauerkraut. Sharon's got a really good recipe of sauerkraut. Some of you guys, well, I don't like sauerkraut. It tastes bad. It's cooked cabbage. I got that. If you don't cook it right, it's bad. But when you use fermented cabbage, it's really, really, really good for the intestinal tract. It's phenomenal. In addition to that, you can exercise on a regular basis. And don't forget the water. We need to take half your body weight in purified water in ounces every single day. That's really important. No chlorine, no fluoride. So if you weigh 200 pounds, drink 10 ounce glasses, that's 100 ounces of water a day. People say, well, drink 8 glasses of water a day. Well, what if you weigh 100 pounds? 8 glasses is too much if you're 10 ounce glasses. You don't do that. You need half your body weight in purified water every single day in ounces. So again, 200 pounds, 100 ounces of water, very, very important. You can eat a lot of whole foods, high fiber diet, really important. Also, you can use like 2 tablespoons of ground flaxseed in your diet daily. You can put it in your smoothie if you'd like, along with the cod liver oil. But I wouldn't put the cod liver oil in your smoothie. It'll make it taste bad. Use supplements of magnesium, vitamin C. Make sure you put probiotics back into your diet. Drink the water and exercise. And in most cases, if you do that, you'll get rid of the constipation. Now, if you don't get rid of it doing all of that, we do have one more product. It's called A3 Aloe. And it's made from aloe vera. It's an aloe vera extract. And it does a very good job as far as helping them push the stool through the system. And it is not addictive, and it is not, you don't have to take increasingly larger amounts to get the same effect. That works very good, but you need to be having a bowel movement 2 to 3 times a day. That's really important in order to keep your complexion clear, and keep your blood clean. It's so important. You got to keep your blood clean. Remember, guys, when the skin starts erupting with all kinds of acne and other types of boils, etc., it's because the body's gotten pretty toxic, because the skin is the largest eliminating organ. If the lungs can't handle it, the colon can't handle it, the kidneys can't handle it, the skin's got to pick it up and start eliminating stuff through your skin. So it's really important that you keep your bowels moving on a regular basis. Guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for being part of our family. I have so many of you call me up and you say, well, gosh, I feel like we know you guys. Can we come down, or were you going to speak at this conference? We'd like to take you to lunch or whatever. Thank you for all that. I appreciate that, because I feel the same way about you guys. And every time I listen or meet one of my people that they come to the office here in Central Florida and I get a chance to talk to them for a few minutes, it's like we're friends, like we've known each other all of my life because we're the same spirit. Remember, we have that synchronicity in the spirit, being Christians and basically being like-minded. And it's such a blessing to know all of you guys are listening and supporting us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us and sending other people to our website and sending people to our talk show. I appreciate you guys. I love you, and we'll keep praying for Trump. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless. The office will go ahead and close.
Yep. Yeah, guys, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Today's a big day, or tomorrow's a big day. So hopefully everything goes well. We'll be praying for tonight. But also, too, yeah, product of the week, as I talked about yesterday, that's the AquaTrace formula on sale. Check it out on the website, healthmasters.com. Really good to put in the water, especially, too, as Dad was just saying, if you're trying to have bowel movements, which you should be on a regular basis, water is one of the most important aspects. I remember a lot of times when I've worked with people that have been trying to diet down or lose body fat, within the first few weeks of me putting them on a really clean diet, which always involves a lot of vegetables, a lot of chicken, a lot of lima beans, a lot of green beans, and a lot of water, they would usually lose 10 to 15 pounds within the first week or two. And a lot of that was bowel weight, as far as they had, you know, feces in their colon that had not been removed yet. So it's very, very important to make sure you're drinking adequate water and getting adequate fiber. That way you can stay cleaned out and your body can recover, especially if you're trying to lose body fat. It'll really flush a lot of that fat out of your system with the added water. So we appreciate it, guys. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.